Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
My first reaction was that of being totally overwhelmed.
You know, Jim, we could have cut the intensity of the losses in those rooms with a knife.
I'm Jim Burns. You may not have lost a loved one in the 9/11 attacks, and perhaps your home was not destroyed in Hurricane Katrina. But the reality is this. A loss doesn't have to be the result of a catastrophe like those to have a devastating effect on you and your family. Each one of us experiences losses in our lives. Unfortunately, most of us really aren't very well equipped to recover from the emotional, physical, and even spiritual wounds it can leave. However, if that's your situation right now, well, I have good news for you. There is hope. And during the next half hour, I've asked noted crisis and grief counselor Dr. Norm Wright to join me for a conversation about learning to recover from loss. If you or someone you know is looking for healing in this area, stay with us today for Homeward. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. It's so good to have you along for this program. We're kind of in a theme here the first couple of days of the broadcast week, talking with Jan Morrison about healing from sexual abuse. And on today's program, part one of a two-part conversation with Dr. Norm Wright, talking about learning to recover from loss. And this is so key, how many people wander around with a deficit in their heart for whatever reason, realizing that there's a loss that they experienced and they never really dealt with. Of course, we're here at the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at APU. APU's Cougars now hold 7 consecutive Director's Cups, 36 national titles in NAIA Division I, and 108 GSAC championships. It's an outstanding university. We're so pleased to have our master's degree out of here and also the Youth Sphere program. If you want to learn more about those educational opportunities, go to homeward.com. And now with part one of today's program, here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about learning to recover from loss. Most fortunate to have Norm Wright with us. He is one of America's best-known Christian grief and trauma counselors. He's authored more than 65 books, including several bestsellers. I feel like I have read most of them. I have a Norm Wright library in my office. He and his wife, Joyce, have been married for over 40 years, and he's just a tremendous person. I enjoy him so much. Norm, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Jim. It's always good to be with you.
Pain and loss are a part of life's journey, but I believe that we can learn how to find joy and peace in the midst of that pain. Norm, you sure, I know, agree with that as well, because you've been in the front lines of grief counseling for a long time, and especially even in recent years with some of the biggest traumatic events in our country, 9/11, Hurricane Katrina. Tell us about some of your experiences with that.
Well, with 9/11, I went back on 5 different occasions, and on 3 of them I did grief recovery seminars in the different boroughs in New York. And, you know, Jim, we could have cut the intensity of the losses in those rooms with a knife. There were people there from all backgrounds, all faiths. It didn't matter that this was presented from a Christian perspective. They just wanted the help that they needed to have. And then when Katrina happened, I work with the Victim Chaplain Ministry, and our group has been down at Katrina ever since day one, especially with body recovery and working with the families. And, you know, the losses there were just overwhelming. And in both cases, there were it was difficult to put what people experienced into words. And I know for most of your listening audience, you know, the losses that they experience are very, very personal and are just as devastating many times when you have these individual losses that just come in and disrupt your whole life and your whole family. You don't have the support that they have when it's something like Katrina or 9/11, but they need the support. And, you know, Jim, one of the things I've found over the last 15 years of doing this is that we live in a culture that does not want to talk about loss. They don't want to talk about grief. And even in the church, we are not educating and preparing people for their own losses, let alone reaching out and ministering to the other people around them. And so that's where a lot of our ministry is equipping all of the people to be able to handle the losses, to deal with them, to grow through them, to learn from them, but then take the experience that they've had and reach out to their neighborhood.
That's very insightful. Sometimes we won't face loss. We'll do it for 9/11 and Hurricane Katrina, but when it comes to personal tragedies, we just won't touch it.
No, we really don't, or the church doesn't speak to it. And what I'm encouraging pastors to do is to ask some Sunday morning every person to write out, what are three of the losses that you've experienced in the last year? Turn those in, and that pastor would have a direction on what to preach on for the next year.
That is so true. Oftentimes, Kathy and I will talk about that. We'll say, you know, every person in this room is struggling from some trauma or some tragedy. People have so much personal loss. Now, interestingly enough, in the midst of you being a Christian grief and trauma counselor, you've experienced personal loss. Back in 1990, your son died at 22 years of age.
Well, Matthew was a profoundly mentally retarded boy and lived with us for 11 years and then lived at Salem Christian Home for 11 years and then developed reflux esophagitis and went in for corrective surgery, which didn't really work. And then there was a staph infection. And then on March 15th, the Ides of March of 1990, Matthew died. And before that time, but especially since that time, our ministry expanded because so many of the couples that I work with locally where I live in Bakersfield as well as nationally, they come because when they come in, they say essentially the same thing. Norm, you will understand this. You will get it. Nobody else understands what it's like to lose a child. And because of what we went through, then God uses that to reach out and minister to others. And when you lose a child, it's called the ultimate bereavement. There's not a closure to it. You carry with you a shadow grief the rest of your life. And it's usually about a 10-year journey before you begin to turn that corner and you move on with your life. And so we dealt with that for years. And then the last 3 years has been another type of a loss because my wife, Joyce, has a inoperable brain tumor, which was stage 2 and 3 cancer. So we've been through chemo, we've been through radiation, been through the shingles, been through the aftermath of the effects of the radiation on the brain. And so this has been a daily occurrence of living with different losses and learning to adjust to them. But it's through loss that some of the greatest changes in our life will occur and where we have the opportunity to grow because of what we have experienced.
I know when our daughter, who's now 18, when she was born with a heart complication. A social worker walks into the hospital and said, here's the deal. There's an 85% chance that you two are going to get a divorce. I thought her bedside manner was not good.
Oh, that's great.
But what she was trying to say was, you're going to go through some trauma. You're going to go through some loss if this young girl lives or not. By the way, she's doing great. Basically, what she was trying to say was, you're either going to go one way or other. You're going to get closer to each other, which this did for Kathy and myself, or you're going to get farther apart. Do you find both things happening at times with loss, that some people end up divorcing, breaking apart? Other times, it draws them closer.
It does. You have the potential there for growing through it and learning to grieve together, learning to grow together, or you can go the other way. And we know that when couples have a disabled child, about 80% of them do divorce. We have that as a very factual statistic, unfortunately. And this is why it is so important that we as believers learn about suffering before we get into the midst of it, that we learn about the scriptures that talk about suffering and what to do about it. In James, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter trials, for the trying of your faith produces endurance and patience.
Now, and, Norm, how do you deal with that particular scripture when your son dies and now you can't take him to Knott's Berry Farm, you can't take him to Disneyland, as you were talking about in your book, or your wife is sitting by your side with inoperable brain tumor? How do you still count that with joy?
You learn about the scriptures before you hit these times, and it makes a difference. You learn how to worship in the good times of your life so that you'll be able to worship during the hard and the painful times. That's what it all goes back to. It doesn't mean that if you haven't learned that beforehand, you can't handle it. You will discover this as you go through. And this last year, one of the books that I've been reading is by Michael Card, called A Sacred Sorrow, which deals with the whole aspect of lamenting, which is all through the scripture and especially the Psalms, and how normal that is and how it's a sign of worship to to ask that question why, and even to rail against God, because eventually that why question will turn into what can I learn through this, and how can I grow through this, and finally, how can God be glorified through this?
It's a great comment. My wife, Kathy, lost her best friend to pancreatic cancer this last year. And, you know, there was a moment when she said, you know what, I am in love with God and I want to be close to him, but right now I'm just mad. That was a good thing for Kathy to be able to express her concern to the Lord. It obviously, through this process, has brought her in many ways closer to God.
You know, the best person to talk to when you go through the loss and you have the questions and you have the anger and you have the even the panic, is you turn and you ask God about it and you tell him about it and you really dump in that way. And that's one of the first steps towards recovery.
Well, I want to talk more about those steps in a moment. We're going to take a break. What a privilege to have Norm Wright with us today. We're talking about learning to recover from loss. We all have trauma and pain in our life. How we deal with this trauma and pain will make a major difference in how we continue to live our lives. Don't go away. More to come. Norm Wright with us. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward.
You know, Jim, as you and Norm were having this conversation today, I couldn't help but think of the parent who has a son or a daughter right now who is going through a loss in life that was the result of something that involved sexual abuse or some kind of misunderstanding sexually. Talking with a dad not too long ago who his son and the son's girlfriend had gotten into a situation like this. And in looking for resources to heal up and help, I know that we're so grateful to be able to extend the offer for people to take a look at the Peer Foundation series that Homeward has put together. It's a collection of books that help you as a parent or even as a grandparent work with the young people in your life to understand sexual purity. One of the big sources of trauma and loss in a child's life, especially the teen years, can involve sexuality. And that's why the book series is here. The book, How to Talk to Your Kids About Sex, is an important one, teaching your children healthy sexuality. Also, the book, The Purity Code, is another one that we highly recommend. Check out the Pure Foundation series from Dr. Jim Burns and Homeward when you go to homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
But I thought the counseling was helping.
Well, I thought it was, but Lacey doesn't like it, so she's not going anymore.
But Lee, she's 15 years old.
I know.
You're her mother.
I know.
If you have to physically drag her back to that counselor's office, I think you should do it.
A child in trouble needs the love of his parents more than ever, and that love must be tough. The kind that says, you've got to stick with your counseling program even when you don't feel like going, if that's what it takes. During a time of crisis, it's important to remember that you're not just raising a good kid here. You're raising a kid to become a responsible adult. Now, don't neglect your own needs during this time as well. Make sure you're receiving loving, level-headed advice from trusted friends who can speak truth into your life as well, even when it hurts. Well, for a free copy of my tip sheet called 10 Things You Should Do When Your Teen's in Trouble, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Norm Wright with us today. We're talking about learning to recover from loss. He's written an excellent book called Recovering from the Losses in Life. Norm Wright is one of America's best-known Christian grief and trauma counselors. As I mentioned at the beginning of the program, he's authored more than 65 books, and I think I have most of them in my library. I have learned so much from this fine man living in Southern California with his wife, Joyce, and they have been married for over 40 years. Norm, when we were talking about this idea of pain and loss, there are some answers to some of the suffering, not easy answers. And I think one of the things that happens, you mentioned this before, is that we tend to want to live in denial of pain, and then the losses begin to pile up. How does this impact us?
Well, when you don't face a loss and you don't grieve over it, you literally are burying that loss. But you bury it alive, and someday there's going to be a resurrection later on, and you're not in charge of it. Because the next loss you experience, you're not just dealing with the pain of that loss, but you're dealing with that previous pain. And there's so many people out there, Jim, that have childhood losses, even traumas that they've experienced. And many of them really did bury them. They have no conscious knowledge of that loss, and all of a sudden it comes back, and if it's a trauma, it just overwhelms. I remember speaking to a woman from the Philippines when I was back in New York, and what she shared with me was so graphic. She said, Dr. Wright, when I saw the plane hit the building, that isn't what I saw in my mind. I was back on my island in the Philippines at the beginning of World War II, and I saw the planes coming in and strafing my village, and we had to run to the hills and hide for 4 years. And I thought that had been taken care of. And will that memory ever go away? And there are many people out there that are living like this. They have memories that are just buried. They've been tattooed onto their brain, and something can go ahead and activate it. You know, over the years, Jim, I've taken a lot of schooling, you know, 9 years of college and seminars, and I've read books and everything. But let me tell you where I've learned the most about helping people. It's been from the people themselves. It's been from my counselees. They have been my greatest educators. And every time I sit with someone, I have the attitude that I'm going to learn from this person. And I remember a gentleman by the name of, I'll call him Jim, who came in with a 12-year clinical depression. And we worked for over a year, and we found out that he had 5 rejections that he had never dealt with over the last 20 years. And I sent him to a medical doctor for help, and he began going to a new church where they had 30 to 40 minutes of worship before the message. And he told me one day that he went without his family, and during that time, he wept and he grieved over those 5 rejections. And I saw a man in 3 months' time come out of a 12-year clinical depression. And he taught me to ask every person I work with the question, and I encourage pastors to ask their congregation this question: what is the loss in your life that you have never fully grieved over? And you know, over the past 12, 15 years, Jim, I've had about 80 to 85% of the people that I asked that question of come back and say, you know what? That was a strange question you asked, Norm. And I thought about it this week, and all of a sudden, something came to mind. And then we're able to talk about it. We're able to put it in perspective. We're able to begin the grieving process over that loss and come to the place where it's no longer an emotional memory. It's more of a historical memory. They're able to say goodbye to that loss and begin to move on free from the weight and the burden of carrying that around.
Now that, Norm, is, I'm sure, the hope and prayer of many people. When you share that phrase with them, and then they say, but what do I do? How do I do it? You know, what do you tell them practically?
What we tell them is to face the loss and recognize that that is a loss. Give it its due and say, you know, that hurt me. That really devastated me. That disrupted my life. That put me out of my normal lifestyle into what I called an abnormal one. Well, it really isn't abnormal. It's normal for what you've experienced. And the loss could be anything from something that's material, the loss of a dream. It could be the loss of a relationship in death or divorce or a friendship. It could be loss of a significant person in your group. It could be a loss that other people don't recognize. Like when you lose a friend in death, you really don't get much recognition for that. And yet some of your friendships are closer than your relatives.
Right.
And so you have to recognize that. And then you have to identify, okay, how is this affecting my life? You know, what isn't there anymore? Like, there's all sorts of secondary losses that occur. For example, if a woman loses her husband, she just didn't lose her husband. She lost somebody that might be the checkbook balancer, the person that ran the errands, that fixed the garage door. And a big loss she's going to experience will be the loss of her couple friends, because she's no longer a married woman. She's no longer a couple. She no longer can put that wedding ring on and say, I'm married. And so this really disrupts her life, and it can be maybe 15, 20, 25 different secondary losses that she has to go through. And everyone has to be faced. Everyone has to be grieved over. Everyone has to be cried over. This is what it's all about.
Now, there may be people, let me say it again, there are people who are listening who are experiencing deep pain because of some loss of some kind, and they are feeling this as you and I are even talking, but they feel like they're isolated. They don't know where to turn. What words of encouragement, hope, could you offer them today?
what I would say is go to your church and let them know that you're hurting. Let them know that you're grieving. If your church doesn't have a grief share group or grief support group, encourage them to get something going, because loss is the theme of the lives of most of the people in your congregation, and you need to have support groups for all the different types of losses. Where I live here in Bakersfield, we have 6 churches that have grief support groups, and one of them is just for parents who've lost children. And then find other people. When you start talking about your losses, you discover you're not alone. Because when you feel isolated, the only person you end up talking to is yourself, and you just reinforce the cycle of pain.
That makes so much sense. Listen, we're out of time. We've got to have you come back next time because we have so much more to talk about. Can you come back?
I sure can. I'll look forward to it, Jim.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' 2-part conversation with Dr. Norm Wright here on the Homeward Broadcast. A very, very difficult subject. Don't mean to sound too bright and chipper here, but it's always so helpful to talk to Dr. Norm Wright about issues like trauma and loss, because he's got such powerful solutions. I still remember that time in Colorado Springs many years ago. Jim and I were there doing some recording at Focus on the Family, and it was right after a tragic church shooting there. And we were getting out of the elevator on our way out to Focus, and there was Dr. Norm Wright walking out with leading the team. He was leading the trauma crisis team to help those people heal up. This program, of course, is available online at homeward.com. You can also podcast along with us as well. I encourage you to do that. That way you can take the program wherever you go. We've tried to make it as easy as possible for you to start that subscription. Just go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast button. You'll see the podcast link right there. It takes you right to our site on iTunes, and then you can start your free subscription. We put the programs up about a week in advance so you can work ahead of the people who listen on terrestrial radio and listen in sequence if you like to, too. Start the podcast process today at homeward.com.
Learning to recover from loss has been our theme today. My thanks to Norm Wright for his counsel on this topic. What a great counselor. What a great man of wisdom he is, and also for his heart in wanting to help us learn how to grieve our losses. Not enough of us do that, and I think it's important for us to do it. A lot of times we don't understand the issue of grief. As we've done on this program before, I want to go through the stages of grief. Now, there's all kinds of different opinions on how this works. I think this is helpful. At least it's very helpful for me when I'm thinking about loss. And the first stage is oftentimes shock and denial. I mean, can this be happening to me? When a loss happens, we oftentimes just want to deny that it happened. I know that even when my mom died, my first thought was, well, maybe she hasn't died yet. Yeah, I mean, it sounds crazy, but that is true, and that happens a lot of times with loss. The second one is anger. We just get angry, and I know whether it be a separation or a divorce or other things, after shock and denial, we do get angry. Sometimes we get angry at God. I know for some of the things that we talked about with 9/11 or with the hurricane, sometimes we get angry at God, and there is a healthy anger, and yet we've got to work through that anger, and that's part of the grief process. Then there's bargaining. You know, I'll do anything to get it right. And sometimes we try to bargain with God. And then oftentimes depression. Many times with grief, there is the element of depression. I have heard people say, you know what, it hurts so much, I would just like to die. And these are very healthy people, except they're going through such a tough time of grief, and depression becomes a part of it. And the last one is acceptance. I am going to survive. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. The light is not a train, and everything's going to be okay. And this is when we begin to work through that healing process. People try to shortcut the grief aspect, and it just doesn't work. And so I appreciate people like Norm Wright dealing with this issue, not only with his book, but also with this very important message. And I know, Roger, you have some information on resources that can help many of our listeners who I'm sure are recovering from losses in their life.
Absolutely, Jim. And if you go to homeward.com, hit the articles and media button, it'll take you right to the articles and tip sheets. We have literally thousands of these. They're all free. And articles, tip sheets, video clips, and more. Just type in grief or loss, and it'll help this narrow the search down dramatically for you. Also want to remind our listeners about the daily online devotional that Homeward puts out Monday through Friday. It's our e-votional. It's a Bible verse and a nugget of encouragement from God's Word, courtesy of Dr. Jim Burns and the staff at Homeward. And the reason we stress this, especially on a day like today, is just what Dr. Norm Wright was talking about, the fact that when you get in isolation and the only voice you hear is yourself when you're talking about depression and loss, it just kind of adds to that fuel to that fire. If you have a conversation piece like the Homeward Daily Devotional, maybe you and your spouse can work through it together, or if you're not married, you can get some friends together and just have a discussion. It doesn't take more than a couple minutes to utilize this, and it's really easy to sign up. It's a free subscription. Go to homeward.com and sign up for the free daily online devotional at homeward.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 9-2-6-9-3. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.